Hey guys, this is Cole Kublik from WJOX in Birmingham and the SEC Network, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
White Rocket Entertainment.
Herbert, 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 Herbert.
What does Herbert mean?
It is somewhat uncomplimentary, Captain. Herbert was a minor official, notorious for his rigid and limited patterns of thought.
WAPI FM Birmingham, all hit I-95.
Bo 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 bo.
I've got touchdowns on a Saturday.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with thewareaglereader.com and all of our great friends, many of whom I got to meet this past weekend, via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and you'll be hearing from my regular co-host, John Ringer, in just a minute. This is a sort of a special post-Oregon quick review episode, and since things are kind of hectic and all upside down here at the palatial White Rocket Studios headquarters this week, with lots of stuff going on, including I was gone off to Dragon Con for 5 days, and other stuff big coming up in the next few days, John and I decided we would do this episode basically separately, and I would just edit them quickly together. So I'm going to give my few thoughts after seeing the game. I will then hand it over to John, who will give his thoughts. In between there, though, of course, we have Jared with the first and long and eagerly awaited installment of his superhero analysis of the game, which folks all seem to enjoy. And he's got a particularly good one this time. And we also, of course, always have to keep track of that eagle he keeps around and what it's up to. And then we will, of course, thank our patrons and wrap things up for this week. And as I've sort of alluded to, going forward, just for the next few weeks, probably just the next 2 or 3 weeks at the most, we may be a little irregular on our recording schedule and may have to do some more kind of odd episodes like this where John does the bulk of it and just sends it to me to post or something like that. I'm not sure yet. We're kind of in uncharted territory, but I pretty much guarantee that by October, I think everything will be back to normal. So please just bear with us for just a couple of weeks because we're just not exactly sure right now how things are going to go. And it's entirely my fault. It's entirely on me because I've just got some stuff going on health-wise that's going to kind of put a crimp in our schedule for a little bit. But I promise you I'm going to do the best I can to deliver the same product we've been delivering. Now, we won a huge football game. We beat Oregon. What a great game that was. Well, the first half wasn't great, obviously. But the second half was pretty darned awesome. Jared and I were doing our various panels and so forth at Dragon Con, and we got back to our Airbnb that he had gotten for us. And good old Delvin from the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast had come in to town, and so the three of us together got to watch the end of the third quarter and all of the fourth quarter, and it was so great. There's just nothing like being with good friends, great Auburn people, watching Auburn pull out a fantastic victory over a quality team like that to kick off the season. I'm telling you right now, Jared and Delvin and I were hugging each other and dancing around like John and I and our friends did back in the late 80s when we would pull out a big win in the Pat Dye era. So it was fantastic. And I've probably watched the game a couple of times now and watched the highlights a dozen times now and looked at it, of course, and read all about it on the various articles and all the tweets and everything. And so it's been very cool to see what everybody's been saying about it and thinking about it, and to just maybe see some of the negativity that we always have to deal with. And that includes me. I'll be the first to admit, right? When I feel circumstances warrant it, I'll be as negative as almost anybody. There's some that are just hardcore negative, but I will be as justified as negative as necessary. So, but it was just good to see some of the negativity disappear. Hopefully, if everything goes well, knock on wood, we should have a couple more weeks before we even have to worry about that again. Not taking Tulane for granted, as a couple of people pointed out on Twitter today, it is Tulane Hate Week, and I wish I had the time right now to put together a sound effect for that, but I just don't. So just imagine Tulane Hate Week 2019. Okay, so there you go. Bells ringing. So just a couple of my observations very quickly. I was just noticing, oh, how interesting that a random sound effect pops up. Sorry about that. I was just noticing that in 2 years of opening games against the Pac-12, that makes it Auburn 2 and, quote, the better team from the Pac-12 that, of course, should have won, unquote, 0. And so I'm just wondering if there's a way that we can open every season against a Pac-12 team that's supposed to beat us, because I really am enjoying this trend. I noticed that, of course, if they're the better team, then how come 10 of the last 11 times they had the ball, they had single-digit or negative yardage? I'm not quite sure how you're the better team when you can't barely get a first down the entire second half. How does that make you a better team? How does that mean you should have won? I don't quite follow that logic. And I think that, of course, ultimately, while certainly the offensive line and Whitlow and Bo Nix and Seth, they, you know, delivered the points, but ultimately I think it was the Auburn defense coming around in the second half absolutely locking down the Ducks that won that game. So kudos to them. Fantastic job. And then I think the other thing I just wanted to talk about here, and I don't want to be too negative, but just, you know, you guys know I've been saying now all along that while we have this alleged depth in our rotation at running back, I think that, you know, I keep saying diversity does not equal depth. We have diverse types of running backs, but not really two of anything. And I think that that problem was shown to be manifestly clear in this game, because when Whitlow was really exhausted or kind of dinged up a little bit there in the second half, after just a Herculean effort up to that point, you know, he kind of had to come out or he couldn't quite get it going. There was really nobody prepared at that moment to come in and be a feature SEC power back or, you know, shifty back the way he is. It just didn't work out with Shiver this week. It just didn't work out with Cam Martin this week. Maybe the answer in the future is DJ Williams. Maybe the answer in the future is Harold Joyner, or maybe something else. I don't know. But otherwise, it seemed like our other running option turned out to be, I guess other than the sweep with Stove, turned out to be Bo Nix. And you don't want him to have to be our passing attack and our rushing attack. He's not Cam Newton physically, and he's not going to stand up to that kind of abuse and treatment. So those were my just immediate thoughts off the top of my head watching the game again. I'm very excited about how it played out. I'm very glad that we won. More observations. I'm sure that John's going to cover all this and much more. So before we get to John, let's go ahead and hear what Jared had to say in his superhero matchup analysis of this game.
Hello, everyone. This is Jared Ulrich, the yard sale artist, here with your Auburn superhero battles. Well, it's the beginning of the season, so it's hard to tell whether or not we're in like a Superman or Incredible Hulk class. So I'm not going to get us to that level yet, but we were scrappy. And you know what? Oregon was scrappy too. So when I look at this battle, I'm seeing Wolverine versus Sabretooth. Two very scrappy teams. Neither one wants to back down, but we were Wolverine. And Oregon was Sabretooth. So schnickety schnicked. Victory goes to Wolverine. Pat, it's the first game of the season, so let's get that eagle out here. To Pat. Maybe getting yourself doused with bacon grease was not a good idea, Pat. No.
Oh God, I love it. I'm as now as interested in the further adventures of Jared's eagle as I am anything right now. So I feel like like the villain in Tomorrow Never Dies. I want movies. I want books. I want newspaper articles. I want TV shows. I want all that about Jared's eagle and what he's up to. So anyway, now let's go ahead and get to John, and John will give us the actual analysis of this game and how he saw it. So take it away, John.
I am John Ringer, the regular co-host. Vane is returning from Dragon Con, has a few other things going on this week. So I'm going to give you a brief podcast recapping the incredible Oregon game from this weekend. And the first thing I just want to say is that was a gigantic, gigantic win for Auburn for this football team. Like most of you, I went bonkers at the end of the game when Bo Nix had that pass. And it's been a long time since Auburn had a comeback and a win that was dramatic like that, that made you feel so good. And again, a huge non-conference game and a really tough opponent and a game that Auburn was kind of fighting uphill after the first few minutes and came back and made it happen and won the game. It was an incredible, incredible win. People are going to be talking about that for years, about the pass at the end, Nix to Seth Williams, and it really, really was big. And again, I think Oregon is a very good team. I think they have a good chance to win that conference, and we're going to see what happens to them this year. But an unbelievable game for Auburn, and I look forward to having a chance later this week, early next week, to talk to Vane about it and get his thoughts about it and once he's actually seen all of it. I was traveling with my oldest daughter. She's going to be in Wisconsin for a couple months for work, and so we had stopped at a hotel in Indiana, just across the border from Ohio, on our way to Wisconsin. And we went out, got some dinner, came back to the hotel, got ready to watch the game. I turned on the TV, and the hotel cable did not have ABC. The local cable company was in dispute with the local ABC affiliate, and they didn't have ABC. And there was a lot of scenarios I was prepared for, like, okay, maybe the hotel's not going to have the ACC network or whatever, but I never thought the lack of ABC would be a problem. So we discussed, you know, going to see it in a sports bar or something, but instead my daughter pulled out her laptop and pulled up our Hulu TV account and plugged in the HDMI cable into the television, and then we just continued watching from there. And no problems, but it was just one of those situations that was funny. So in my mind, when I was thinking about the game and what I want to say about it, there were really three distinct phases I felt in the game. Kind of the opening phase of the game, the first few drives, when Oregon came out absolutely on fire. They kicked our butt up and down the field on both sides of the ball. They were moving the ball well, running and passing, opening big holes. Auburn was not being successful, and Oregon quickly scored a couple touchdowns. Then the middle phase of the game, you know, Auburn steadies, but both teams at this point are kind of missing some opportunities, especially Auburn misses some opportunities in this middle phase. But Auburn was beginning to settle down and beginning to turn things around, and the defense was starting to clamp down on what Oregon was doing. And then kind of the third phase, which is really mostly the second half, Auburn just took over the game. Absolutely took it over. You know, on Oregon's first three drives, they averaged 7.7 yards a play. And in the other 12 drives in the game, I think they averaged 3.3 yards a play. And I know that, you know, after the first couple of drives, Auburn held them to, like, you know, very little yards per carry. Auburn ended up, you know, with more yardage in the game and way more rushing yards in the game, which didn't seem possible after those first two Oregon drives. And so I want to talk a little bit about what changed to get, you know, Auburn from the first phase to the third phase. The first one was Auburn stopped shooting itself in the foot. In the beginning of the game, defensively, I don't think it was that Auburn was unprepared for what Oregon was going to do. Auburn just made a couple of key mistakes, blew some coverages. We got a personal foul penalty, you know, face mask. But we had a couple of bad coverages. We had a couple of times when we, you know, had a chance to make a tackle and didn't. And Oregon took advantage of those plays, and they made things happen. But the defense settled down, and you'll never know how much, you know, Kevin Steele being down on the field mattered in this, but, you know, I think the good leadership, good coaching, they got the team calmed down, worked out the coverage mistakes, what Oregon was doing, and they didn't happen again at all. And as the game went on, you know, it was clear that Oregon's receivers weren't very scary, and Auburn really got up in them, in their faces, kind of man-to-man, and they couldn't get any separation at all. The passes that he completed after that were either very short or in very, very tight windows. The receivers were not making plays, you know, getting away from Auburn and making things happen. In the defensive line, after having some issues early, really, really solidified as the game went on. They plugged up those holes. Derrick Brown was continually pushing his guy into the backfield, making stuff happen. The defensive line as a whole was good. And then the linebackers, you know, came in and made the tackles. Auburn was really good at tackling in space after the first couple Oregon series. They didn't let guys get by them and make things happen. It was really, really impressive. The other thing is, once the game got going and Bo Nix was really struggling at the beginning, Auburn went back to basics in the second half. And if you watched a lot of Auburn, as we all have, you could see this coming 100 miles away. Auburn went back to running the football. And it was 90%, you know, Booby Whitlow. And he was excellent in the second half. He was patient. He was explosive. He was physical. He made guys miss. He, you know, he pushed forward through the pile to get extra yards. He, you know, he broke it outside when the hole was full. He was really, really effective in the second half of this game. And you could see he's matured a lot as a runner. The, you know, a couple other guys got some carries. Cam Martin had a couple of decent runs to help out. Sean Shivers got some carries that didn't do much with him. Harold Joyner caught one long wheel route that looked really great. But, you know, that was a big thing. You know, the running the ball in the second half, because then it took the pressure off Nix to make all the plays happen. But he made some nit plays running the ball as well, and that was a big difference in the game. Auburn's running the ball, pushing the Oregon defense around, imposing their will on them, and honestly wearing them out. Auburn's offense wore out the Oregon defense in the second half, and that allowed Auburn's defense to be better rested, and they make more plays down the stretch with the starters. A few other notes from the game. The special teams for Auburn was poor. This, you know, I'll eat some crow on this. I thought Auburn's special teams are going to be a big advantage. We missed a field goal, and we had poor punt coverage. One of the theories I saw is that in the warm-up, Sipos actually hit the big screen in the, you know, Dallas Cowboys Stadium with the football, and that he altered his punting because he was worried about hitting the screen again and having it bounce straight back down. I don't know about that or not, but it makes some sense to me. What to see next week if Sipos goes back to doing the sky-high punts and Auburn getting guys downfield to cover them before the other team can return like they did last year. The other big thing is even when, you know, Auburn had guys in the area, they did not make the first few Auburn guys down, never made the tackle on punt returns. That was something we really got to work on. Whitlow was excellent. As I said before, he really, really made a difference for this offense. And I thought the offensive line had a bad first couple series, but then they settled down and they were fine. You know, there wasn't, you know, huge holes, but there was enough holes, and they gave Nick's time down the stretch in the key plays. The big thing that was exciting to me was young defensive players stepping up in this game and making big plays. K.J. Britt was everywhere. He was all over the field making plays. Yeah, we saw Big Cat Bryant play a ton. T.D. Moultrie was banged up and didn't play very much. Derek Hall played some defensive end, but the linebackers especially, K.J. Britt and Papo played a ton. He was number 10 on defense. He made a ton of plays and some very big plays down the stretch. He was on the field a lot, and he was involved. He was making stuff happen. And Derek Brown did not end up with the stats, but that doesn't mean that he was not effective in this game. He did make a difference. He pushed his guy around into the backfield. I mean, again, against, you know, really, really good Oregon offensive linemen, he was regularly pushing his guy into the backfield 2 or 3 yards, disrupting what Oregon was trying to do. And again, this Oregon offensive line, I believe the hype, I think they're pretty good. I don't think we're going to see an offensive line that good until we play Georgia. I really don't. We play teams like, you know, Florida, their offensive line isn't half that good. So I think, you know, we're going to see the Auburn defensive line have a much bigger impact on teams who aren't as good on the offensive line as Oregon was. And finally, we come to, you know, the man, the myth, the legend, Bo Nix, who was, you know, at the beginning of the game, he had that one pass to Hastings, you know, and then he had that one quick run on the outside. And at that point, you're like, oh boy, you know, there's something here. And he was at times electric in that game. Think about the fact that he threw those two interceptions, and he was being aggressive and trying to force the ball in there. But then they never pulled him out. You know, they played Gatewood in the short yardage for the goal line, which is an area Auburn needs to really improve on, the goal line offense. And I think we'll see a lot more of Gatewood in the future, because in that area we got a lot of work to do. But Nix down the stretch in this game was so calm. There was no panic in him. There was no, you know, you could see in his eyes and his body language, he wasn't losing it. He wasn't worrying about it. He was very calm, methodical, had it under control. The true freshman was one of the calmer guys on the field for the Auburn offense, and he made it happen. And I also think, like, you know, there was a little bit of Auburn being very aggressive here at the end. It was like 15 seconds left when he threw the pass to Williams. When Williams scored, there was 9 seconds left on the clock. Auburn had no timeouts at that point. If Williams had been tackled, you know, in the field of play, the clock would have stopped. Auburn would have had to run up and spike the ball and then try to kick the short field goal with a couple seconds left. So it was I've seen people compare Gus's decision to throw that to kind of the Les Miles decision in 2007 to throw the touchdown pass in the end zone, and I can see that a little bit. It wasn't exactly the same, but it was very aggressive, and it was, I mean, you're being aggressive with a freshman quarterback who's already thrown two interceptions in this huge game shows how much they trust Bo Nix and how much they trust Seth Williams to go get the ball and make a play. It was really, really incredible, and the sky's the limit for Bo Nix down the road with this offense. I mean, he and Seth Williams did not have a good day together overall. Bo Nix missed him a lot, but they're going to get in sync, and it's going to happen, and Seth Williams is going to catch a bunch more big passes for this team over the course of the season. Again, Schwartz didn't play. He's, you know, hands in the cast. We just need him back for A&M. We get him back, we get, you know, Hastings and Stove and Seth Williams, and we're going to be okay. So Bo Nix was really legendary in that play and in that drive. It was unbelievable. as I said earlier, the couple injuries, Moultrie was hurt and missed a good bit of the game, too, Moultrie on defense. And then Will Hastings on offense got banged up and missed the second half. He could have made a difference, I think, in some of those drives. We had to play some other guys out there. Spencer Nye caught a big pass down the stretch. That was something. But it really was an incredible win. It was great to beat Oregon in that game and, you know, really sets the table. Because now Auburn has the two, you know, easy non-conference home games. We can win. We can play all the young guys in these two games and then get ready for A&M. So I think that's exciting. We'll get a chance to see a lot of the younger players. And we'll get a chance to work out the kinks. We know what we need to work on. There's specific things, man. And I think Gus Malzahn admitted it. There were things he did wrong. There were things the team could do better. I think, you know, goal line offense is something that we got to get better at. And I think they have some, you know, clearly they have some things they could do there. I think we'll work on those things and work them out. And we'll play a lot of the younger guys in the next 2 weeks. We'll play a ton of the freshmen, see what they can do. Next up for Auburn's Tulane. They beat Florida International this past week, like 45-10. They ran for 350 yards against Florida International. But I went back and looked. Florida International was like 100th in the country in rushing defense a year ago. They were terrible then. And so Tulane's offense got better. I think there's a big difference between moving the ball in Florida International and moving the ball in Auburn and their defense, especially at Jordan-Hare. So I don't think they're going to have the same kind of success moving the ball in Auburn. But at the same time, one of the things we saw from the other SEC games this weekend is you have to respect your opponent. You have to show up and be prepared and focused. And you have to, you know, you can't, you know, ignore them and game plan for some A&M and forget about them. Because that's what happened to Tennessee. They didn't respect Georgia State and it bit them in the butt. And we don't want that to happen to us. I think they'll be focused and they'll be ready. We have to come down off the high a little bit from this game. But I think that, you know, this team has good leadership and they'll get them ready to play. As I mentioned, the rest of the SEC had a bit of a tough week. And a lot of people thought Auburn was going to join those teams. You know, South Carolina, they found out tonight that Bentley's hurt and there was rumors they were going to bench him. Maybe if he wasn't hurt, they're playing another quarterback or a freshman basically the rest of the year. Missouri lost, turned the ball over, played badly, and lost to Wyoming. They got to come home and play West Virginia now. Ole Miss looked terrible in a loss to Missouri to Memphis. Arkansas barely beat 1AA Portland State. So you know, there's some teams in the SEC that I really think like Ole Miss and Arkansas are as bad as SEC teams have been in a while. And the East maybe isn't as tough as we thought it was. I think Missouri's going to get it together and play better. But South Carolina and Tennessee are just, you know, pretty poor. So we'll see. Other big games next weekend when we get the big Texas A&M goes to Clemson games. That'll be a great chance for us to sit back and watch Texas A&M and evaluate them. And LSU goes to Texas. So we'll get to evaluate two future Auburn opponents against good teams and see what they can do, and I'm excited about that. But the last thing is just, you know, savor this win, enjoy it, enjoy every moment of it. Go back and watch the highlights or the game again, listen to the radio call. It really, really was a great day, and I want to salute all the Auburn fans that went to Dallas. It was a great Auburn presence there. There was a great Tiger Walk outside the stadium when there wasn't supposed to be one. And you could hear the crowd in the game, you know, making a difference in the second half when the defense was going at them. So it was a great win, and it's going to go down in history as, you know, as Nick's to Seth Williams and the parallels to his dad coming in and throwing the pass against Alabama and, are pretty remarkable. But I look forward to talking to Van about that and looking forward to hearing from all you and doing a mailbag next week and the full show. And excited about Auburn football. Can't wait to see what happens. And I'm very excited to have Bo Nix as our quarterback for the next couple of years. So that's it for tonight. Thanks for everything. And War Eagle.
All right. And thank you so much, John. And like I said, this was not the ideal way to do this show, but it was really the best way that we could do it under the circumstances. So I'll just go ahead and wrap things up now. and say I'm looking forward to having a kind of a hopefully a stress free. I'll try that again. I'm looking forward to having kind of a stress-free couple of Saturdays here while I'm convalescing from things, so that I won't like rip any stitches open or hurt myself. if it had been a different schedule and the Oregon game was next weekend, I imagine my wife wouldn't have let me watch it at all. And so we'll have a couple of weeks. Then we'll have Texas A&M. Looking forward to that game. My thought was that we would be higher ranked than Texas A&M, but then no, maybe they'll be higher. Maybe they'll be favored because it's home field. But even though really it's our home field advantage, we always win there. But they're going to play Clemson on this coming Saturday, so that's going to shake things up a little bit. They are likely, can't guarantee, but they are likely to be probably what 2-1 when we play them. And we'll probably likely be 3-0, so we'll probably be favored and higher ranked. But that doesn't really mean anything, right? We'll see what happens when we go out to College Station. But of course, we do. I'm doing the exact thing they say don't do, which is look ahead, right? So I'm looking ahead. But Tulane and whoever the other one is, I don't even remember right now. I'm just not that honestly worried about it. I'm knocking on wood. I'm sorry if I'm cursing us, but I just really think we should be okay, especially with our defense. They're not going to let us lose to those kind of teams. All right, so before we go, as always, we have to thank our patrons who do so much to keep our programs on the air. For just as little as $1 a month, you can join their ranks and be called out during the show. We have a couple of new ones this week I'm very excited about. And so just go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and click on that Become a Patron link. It'll take you to Patreon to sign right up. You get access to various things, including I put the entire raw audio feed of our discussion with the Oregon guys on their podcast up there last week. So our patrons got to hear it, and I got some really good feedback and commentary on that people really enjoy getting to hear that whole thing. So go to www.auwishbone.com. Our patrons as of the beginning of September 2019 include Brendan O'Dwyer. We're still thanking him for that awesome one-time donation. Matthew Flowers, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, and Carl Von Drunker. Trevor Johnson, Phil Amthor, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Trading Alchemist, Ross, Kevin Smith, Clarence Alford, David Hegler, Robert Mendenhall, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolf, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, and Tom Anderson. There's David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Spanky, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor Sanford, Mickey B, Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, and Dave Powell. Auburn Elvis joins the ranks this week with Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Brandon Smith, Thomas Brinson, David Smiley, Jeremy Minton, Lane Middleton, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Cummo, Darren Pyle, Chris Wardam Wade, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, who I got to see again at DragonCon, and they're just the nicest people. Ruth and Darren, thank you so much. Patrick Williams, who I missed at DragonCon, dang it. Usually see him there. Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Brent Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, and our one-time donors or occasional donors, including the awesome Surfer Chickify and our anonymous donors. Thank you guys so much. www.auwishbone.com. My time is up. I thank you for yours. We'll get on out of here for this week. And one way or another, we'll be back in the next few days after the Tulane game. War Eagle, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
So what becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.